Okay, you might want to get close to your radio.
My deal is we can have an honest conversation where both sides have some issues.
I love it.
I want to officially welcome you to News One Now with Roland Martin.
Good morning. An NYPD officer is indicted in the shooting death of an unarmed black man. And we've got part two of Roland's exclusive with Cheryl Underwood. And our comedians are going to let loose because you know what? It is Wildin' Out Wednesday. All that and more coming up right now on News One Now. Congressional Black Caucus members met with President Obama yesterday to discuss a wide range of topics, including reforming the criminal justice system and economic opportunities. In turn, the president asked the CBC for support on trade deals. Here with more are CBC members, Congressman Hakeem Jeffries from the 8th District of New York and Congresswoman Gwen Moore, representing Wisconsin's 4th District. Welcome. So overall, tell me just how was the meeting with the president?
You know, I think the important part of the conversation happened at the end of the conversation.
Okay.
When the president sort of congratulated the Congressional Black Caucus and really being focused and bringing important issues to him that he thought that there might be some agreement on, some ability not only to work with him, which is a foregone conclusion, but being willing to rein in the Republican majority. And I think that's a good starting point. He congratulated us for really being organized in our presentation.
Okay. And so what was the, when walking into this meeting, I mean, of course, there aren't, you know, just multitude of opportunities to just have the president's ear and sit with him. What were some of the things that were the most important issues for the CBC to have at this particular conversation?
Well, President Obama has 23 months left in office, and I think the CBC is committed to making sure that he can finish strong on behalf of the communities that we represent and on behalf of the nation. He's done a lot during his first 6 years in office, often in partnership with the Congressional Black Caucus, as well as Democrats in the House and the Senate. And there's some things that we'd like to address with a laser-like focus over the next couple of months. Fixing our broken criminal justice system, mm-hmm. which means dealing with the prison industrial complex, the mm-hmm. fact that there is mass incarceration that disproportionately impacts the African American community in a way that doesn't make sense for the nation economically, is not consistent with our democratic values. And so we want to work toward reducing mandatory minimum sentences, giving judges more discretion, redirecting nonviolent drug abusers out of the criminal justice system into treatment. In ways that states throughout the country have begun to do, but the federal government has yet to get that accomplished. Mm-hmm. And also continuing to work on job creation. Although the economy has improved significantly under this president, we still have a ways to go. African American unemployment rates are still disproportionately mm-hmm. high, and so we'd like to get make progress on that as well.
Okay, so when you're in these meetings and you do bring up these issues, what is the response from the president? Are there concrete responses, or are there, you know, we're working on it, we continue to put committees together, are there concrete answers?
You know, the president was surprised at how easy it was for him to get to yes on many of these issues. Hakeem mentioned the broken criminal justice system, for mm-hmm. example. We had Senator Cory Booker in the meeting, who has worked really diligently with Republicans in the Senate, because they're realizing that this is sort of busting the budget mm-hmm. To just, mm-hmm. you know, trail them, nail them, and jail them. And so there's bipartisan, bicameral support for that. Same thing with the recovery not reaching everyone. We had Assistant Leader Jim Clyburn there focusing in on the most distressed, impoverished districts in the country and saying we need to find some way to bring some relief to those to those census tracts. And they're not Democratic districts, they're not Republican districts, they're not all urban, they're rural, they're black, white, Latino. So it's real easy to get the president to yes on many of these issues. Mm-hmm. What we need to make sure that we can bring the Republican majority along
into the conversation and into the reform that has to take place, right?
Right.
So we also know that there's been a big fuss and sort of a lot of coverage about Benjamin Netanyahu's visit and the speech that's coming up in March. And many CBC members have said that they will not attend it in protest to sort of the disrespect that this invitation by Boehner has shown to the president. What is the CBC's position on that? Or just individually, how do you feel about that visit and that speech?
Well, I think members of the Congressional Black Caucus have taken different positions. Our chair, G.K. Butterfield, along with John Lewis and others, have indicated affirmatively that they do not plan to attend. I think that every member of the CBC feels as though, certainly I do, that Speaker John Boehner unnecessarily politicized a foreign policy issue as it relates to trying to prevent Iran from the acquisition of nuclear weapons.
Sure.
I think every member of the United States Congress believes that that would not be a healthy thing for our country, for the Middle East, for Israel, for anyone in that part of the world.
Right.
But by proceeding in a manner that breached protocol, in a way that was clearly intended to place a stick in the eye of President Obama, was completely irresponsible in the manner that it was conducted. And I'm hopeful that things can be worked out over the next few weeks in a manner that keeps the focus on the Iranian nuclear question, mm-hmm. and we can move away from the political gamesmanship.
Well, what could be worked out? What could be worked out as it relates to that actual speech happening or not, and you know there being sort of a protest by black politicians, whatever party, that just it was a very big disrespect to the president. What could be worked out?
It wasn't just the Congressional Black Caucus members who said that they weren't going to
sure,
attend.
Sure, there were many who said they.
There are many others in leadership
board, right.
as well. And there is, talk of Netanyahu or the ambassador coming to speak with the CBC. And I just think that would be something that would deteriorate into another sort of no-show. I think that if Mr. Netanyahu, President Netanyahu, could delay his visit, then, as Hakeem suggested, the focus would then be on Iran
right.
and those instead of his reelection efforts.
Sure. And one thing we saw yesterday that the officer in the Akai Gurley murder in New York was indicted, which, on the surface feels good. It's just a first step, though. It doesn't say that he will, actually be convicted or sentenced or anything like that. What is that? What kind of reaction do you feel when you spent so much time dealing with the police brutality that has been going on? What was your immediate reaction to that?
Well, it was a meaningful step in the right direction in the march toward justice for the Akai Gurley family. This incident actually occurred in the Pink Houses development in East New York in a mm-hmm. community that I represent. A few days after this tragedy, where someone, a young African-American man who the police commissioner described as totally innocent,
mm-hmm,
had done nothing wrong, shot to death by a rookie police officer in a manner where at least the district attorney now believes there is probable cause to conclude mm-hmm. that a crime was committed, manslaughter, criminally negligent homicide. We'll see ultimately what a jury determines. But it suggests that in certain jurisdictions, when you have the right district attorney who believes in allowing the facts and the law to dictate the process, then perhaps you can get some measure of justice when an unarmed African-American young man has been killed by a police officer.
Right.
Well, the CBC spent a lot of time talking to the president about criminal justice, mm-hmm. and we're going to, as the Congressional Black Caucus, put a package together to further the conversation.
That's excellent. Thank you so much for joining me here today. Coming up, finally, an indictment for that police officer involved in the shooting death of that unarmed black man, Akai Gurley. And Roland's one-on-one with comedic queen Shirley Underwood is coming your way in a bit. We have a sneak peek of the wild new season of R&B Divas LA, and it's Wildin' Out Wednesday. Some crazy comedians are in the house, and Roland is now here, so he will be coming up next. Hit me with your thoughts on Twitter, at Mo Ivory, or at News One, or on the News One Facebook page. It is 9 after the hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back, and so will Roland.
Wherever you are, we are. Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
All right, folks, welcome back to News One Now. I just got off an airplane. I was in San Francisco yesterday at the Emerson Collective, moderating a panel dealing with the movie Selma with one of its producers. And so just landed. Glad to be with you today. Let's go right to our panel. To my right, I have Linda McAllister, of course, radio talk show host in Pittsburgh. Also to my left, Angela Rye. Of course, she is with Impact, and Monique Presley, lawyer here in D.C., and of course, Mo Ivory as well. Of course, co-host of the Frank Ski Show, and thanks for sitting in while I was racing down the freeway trying to get here.
No problem.
Let's deal with this. Let's deal with this issue. This, first of all, the indictment in Brooklyn. The point that Congressman Jeffries made, I think, is a critical one. The individual who is the DA, this is a prime example of what happens when you have somebody who is not in the pocket of police, who understands that you have to look at what's happening with the residents there. And in fact, this same DA, this is the third case where he has indicted officers for police misconduct. This is exactly how the system is supposed to work, Lenny.
Yeah, you're right. The bottom line is supposed to be justice for all. You want to keep people on both sides of the badge safe. But oftentimes when it comes to police officers in the community, it's more about keeping the police officer safe than the community. And when you have a DA that's going to be impartial and look at these types of things, not necessarily go too far and go for a second degree murder or something along those lines and overcharge, go for something that's appropriate. Manslaughter, this was negligence. This is something that needs to be addressed. This is an appropriate action. I hope to see that justice is served in this.
What is stunning about this case is the 6 minutes after Gurley was shot, they're not on the phone with 911.
No. No.
They are texting their union delegates.
Yes. And that, too often, Roland, is exactly what happens and gets the wheel starting that begins the process of let's make sure that there cannot be an indictment. So the steps are put into place. Make sure there's no record. Make sure that we have certain pieces of evidence, you know, hidden or put away or whatever. There becomes a log that then taints the ability or taints the people involved from being able to find an indictment. I'm just really glad in this case that did not happen. But this is just a first step. I don't want to get overexcited about what an indictment means because the first step.
But here's the deal, though. I know it's the first step. Okay, but the shock is when a cop is indicted.
No, you're
so the shock is not
is
when they're not indicted.
Oh, how
the
sad
shock is oh my yeah. God, a cop is actually indicted
exactly.
for wrongdoing.
I'll totally get that.
When there was not an indictment in the Eric Garner case, and one thing that I think has been interesting is folks have asked the question, and I think it was in a recent post. You know, is this making up for the Eric Garner case? And no, these are two separate black
right.
lives. And this is a situation where justice needs to be served regardless of if you're wearing the badge of the law or not.
Sure.
Right, but this, each life is separate, and I agree, but the facts of this case were also very distinct. So I think while some people may be relieved that there was an indictment here, I don't think that we should be, because what we're looking at here was a completely, looks like accidental happening that never should have happened.
Sure.
A police officer whose gun never should have even come out of the holster. We need indictments where the calls are much closer, where there is engagement, where there is a justification for use of some force, but they're not using appropriate force. Mm-hmm. This also concerns me because those who are fighting for outside prosecutors don't get a win from what happened here. This is what prosecutors are supposed to be. You don't have to have an outside one to get a prosecutor who does the right thing. And a prosecutor is supposed to be on the side of the state and on
sure.
the side
and
of the city.
But here's the deal, though. First of all, keep in mind, Kenneth Thompson, when he became Brooklyn DA, the individual who he beat, Charles Hines, who had a history of his office not being able to prosecute cases clearly. And in fact, Thompson has had to free individuals who were wrongly prosecuted by the previous DA.
Yeah, when you have these type of situations where you have so much politics mixed into the mix and you have the type of pressures that you see in these big cities. And at some point in time, you have to be able to remove yourself from that. Now, it's good to be able to see a DA have the courage to actually be impartial and move in this direction. I'm hoping that this is more of a trend. I mean, we saw this in Charlotte where at first we didn't have an indictment and then eventually we did have an indictment of the CMPD police officer down there as well.
Yeah, but what happened in the Charlotte case, though, the initial grand jury chose not to indict.
Yes.
Then the state attorney general took the case over. The DA there recused himself. The state attorney general took it to a second grand jury, and that's when that cop was indicted for killing Jonathan Farrell.
True, but at least we're seeing progress, and I think that we're starting to see more prosecutors understand that there has to be more of an impartial review of these type of situations, unless you're going to continue to see the protests in the streets until something definitely does change.
Well, I think in the case of Charlotte is a perfect example. If you don't get a special prosecutor, then you still take it out of the hands of that local
That's
DA.
Exactly right.
Yes. And let's just be clear, okay? Do we have the photo of Kenneth Thompson? I need y'all to pull that up, please. Let's just cut to the chase. He's black. No, no, guys, that's a Kai Gurley. I need the DA. The DA, Kenneth Thompson, he's African American. You can look at the same thing what happened in Texas, where you had the district attorney in Dallas County, who Craig Watkins, if it wasn't for him becoming DA, the number of individuals who were freed because of DNA, that wouldn't have happened.
And I think going back to Lenny's point that he just raised, he said, you know, this is progress. I wouldn't necessarily mistake having people who understand this challenge in positions of power to be progress necessarily. We still, again, it's 2015, but last year and the beginning of this year, we were faced with several non-indictments. And I think that that demonstrates clearly that we haven't seen as much progress as this country.
Yeah, and I think progress is also, I thought you made a very excellent point about progress will be when we see a case that is clearly outside of the bounds of any kind of justice, like Eric Garner, like all actually receive an indictment. This is a very easy case to look at and say, okay, obviously he had negligent behavior. Obviously we're going to move forward. I would like to see this, like again I said, go to conviction and for him to, you know, pay for whatever happened. But I would like to see the most egregious of situations that have gone with no indictments begin to follow this same kind of process.
But Roland also
that would be progress.
Roland has a point as well when you say that the vast majority of the time, even these situations don't find an indictment. So there
right.
is a progress. Now, the question is this going to be an isolated incident, or are we going to see more DAs across the country say, listen, we have to be more impartial, lest we get a different type of pressure from the people in the streets?
Will we see more black DAs or DAs in general?
Hold tight 1 second. I got to go to break right now, folks. We'll continue our conversation with our panel. We'll also deal with some other issues as well, including the Jackie Robinson West Little League team. This is breaking news. They have been stripped of their U.S. baseball title for ineligible players. We'll explain to you also later in the show, my exclusive interview with Cheryl Underwood, co-host of The Talk, and also going to be featured on the upcoming Unsung right here on TV One. Also, the R&B Divas of L.A. reunite tonight with two new cast members. We'll give you a sneak peek. And, of course, it's Hump Day, and we'll chat with our comedians on Wild Out Wednesday. This is News One Now on TV One.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin. Roland Martin.
This summer, folks, the Jackie Robinson West Little League team became the first all African-American team to ever win the United States Little League baseball title. Well, that history has now been wiped out. Just a few moments ago, Little League Baseball stripped them of their regional title and their U.S. title because the coach used ineligible players. They grabbed players from outside of their boundary. In fact, they also used an illegal map. The coach has been suspended, as well as the Illinois District 4 Administrator Michael Kelly. He's been removed from his position. He was supposed to investigate the eligibility of all of the players. And so now that is gone. Of course, you just saw the video when the Jackie Robinson West, that team paid a visit to the White House with President Barack Obama. I'm going to go to our panel. This is, you know, here's what's so sad about this story. It was lots of attention. You had all of these folks putting the focus on them. You also had Monet Davis playing as well. And so for these kids, they relished that moment. Now it's wiped out. Now their character is now questioned. Because of the action of adults.
And you know as well as I do, you were on the south side of Chicago. They needed something to uplift them. These kids didn't do anything illegal themselves. They were invited to play baseball. They put the discipline in. They put the time in, and they won. They went over all kind of odds in order to win this. There had to have been something other than stripping them completely of the title where the kids still get some type of acknowledgement for what they did while the adults are punished. Right now, unfortunately, it's putting this cast on all of them, and this is something that they will carry with them for quite some time.
Well, apparently one of the coaches of a team that got drilled like 42-2 was the one who filed a complaint, complaining. I wonder if he filed a complaint because he got that butt kicking.
Well, of course he did.
And they gave up 42 runs in four innings. So it's not like it was a whole game. So yeah, so you have that. But then also the team in Las Vegas who lost to the Jackie Robinson West team, they also complained because they weren't happy about them getting drilled as well. But again, I think what's sad is that for these kids, it was a great accomplishment. And look, you don't know where in the head kids coming from, but this is where adults screwed up.
Well, this happens. This is not something that parents don't have an open eye to in Little League and in youth sports, that coaches are using kids that are not the age they say they are or are ineligible. But I'm so unhappy to hear about this. I ordered the T-shirt online, had my whole family sitting and watching. And this was happening during a time that we were having much unrest in our country, right? We had these little boys to say, oh my God, look at what they're doing in Chicago, where all the murders are happening. Things are going so well. So it's so disappointing that the adults around, even the parents, because I'm going to dare say that some parents, at least the ones of the kids that were ineligible, knew that this was going on, did not stand up and say anything and put these kids, all of the team, in jeopardy of this happening. It's awful.
The fact of the matter is everybody knows that this is going on.
Exactly.
And I know Mo would probably back me up here. This is a racket.
Mm-hmm.
The circuit is a racket in that they go and they scout and they pull children from other areas. They lie about where they've come from.
Mm-hmm.
Parents
Grades,
are even
everything.
Holding their children back so that they can be larger to be eligible
so
to
true.
Play. So while it's unfortunate, I think the real lesson here is that right is right and wrong is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that these children are going to have to take the hard lesson, and it is the adult's fault, but it's necessary.
Angela.
Yeah, I don't know about a widespread racket at all, but what I do know is for all of us who were so very proud of these young people, it's a tarnished history instead of a strong legacy. And I think it's unfortunate. It is Black History Month, so I can't help but to think about the historical impact of that. The fact that we always have to be not just twice as good, but certainly above reproach.
I want to bring another sports story up that a lot of people may not realize, and I think it's really interesting. There's this young man named Roquan Smith out of Georgia. He's an All-American linebacker. Last week we had National Signing Day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he chose not to sign his letter of intent. Now, what's amazing about the story is that by him not signing the letter of intent, he is not governed by the rules there. So what happens when you sign a letter of intent, when you sign that, you are locked into that school for 4 years. You can't go anywhere else. You can't transfer. If you do, you lose eligibility. But by him not signing, he says, I'm retaining all of my rights and privileges, and I now get to now control my fate. I would think that Kurt Flood, the brother who sued Major League Baseball, that actually led the free agency, he lost in the Supreme Court, he has to be smiling saying, man, that brother right there, and this is going to change the game for the elite players who say, wait a minute, I could just sign the financial aid agreement. I don't need to sign that letter.
Yep. Especially if you have the grades. And if you look at what's come out with the union movement from Northwest University, this is almost a natural outshoot of that, where athletes are now saying, wait a minute, we make all this money. You're going to give me, in essence, $30,000 a year to make you millions, and I put my career on the line. And by the way, I'm supposed to stay here at least 3 years before I can make any real money? No. Let's change the rules a little bit.
And the reason he backed out is because the coach who was recruiting him at UCLA, right after National Signing Day, the next day, he left UCLA to go to the NFL.
Right.
So Roquan Smith is saying, whoa, wait a minute, hold up. You recruiting me, but you leave. And the way the rules are, the moment he signs that letter of intent, even if he changes his mind 24 hours later, he has to get their permission to leave, and they can deny him a release from that letter. I think this young brother is playing the game smart, and I hope a lot of other parents out there are paying attention, saying, wait a minute, I didn't realize we don't have to sign that letter to go to that school to get a scholarship.
I was so proud of the strategy. I was so proud of the information and the way the family used what they knew, because so many families don't use what's out there to make good decisions, because they just want their child to go to a big school, to get that scholarship, and to be a name player. And they don't think about the ramifications behind it that this young man and his family thought about, that really ensure his future in a better way than would have if he signed the letter. Yep. So I was very proud of him.
All right, it's the same thing. I was looking at your Twitter feed this morning. You were talking about it, about Black reporters and media and being enterprising, and we need to see the enterprising in the athletic field as well. We need better advice for children who are younger, because these are kids at the time that they're considering these letters of intent, and it changes the trajectory of their entire career, the decisions that they're making right now. So I thought that this was something good, and that we'll see a trend.
And Angela, that's a legal document. So what happens is the NCAA, they literally hold that kid to that, and that document, that letter of intent, decides their entire future. This kid is now saying, no, wait a minute. the financial aid document is really the most important one. Yep. So he now can sign that one, get financial aid. But if anything changes with the school, he can actually now go somewhere else and be seen actually like any other student, as opposed to, no, we're going to have a separate rule for these athletes. And I hope there are some mothers and fathers who have kids who are major players. Look, if you a no-star kid or one or two-star, this ain't going to work. Right. But if you a three, four, five-star, this can change the game.
Well, the one thing that I thought about immediately when you talked about this, we've been watching kind of the NCAA rules and the fact that athletes have been pushing back on this and the grumblings have grown louder. Well, the initial tipping point, I think, is with the Fab Five back in the day at Michigan and the way that they push back. Like, you make all this money off of us.
Right.
We're going to wear black socks. We're going to, you know, like, they did all these things to demonstrate their leadership on the court their own power. This is to a whole nother level. And so to your point, I do hope that other athletes follow suit. You don't owe them anything. It's not really in contracts. They say it's a bargain for exchange.
Right.
It's an unfair exchange. So hold your power.
Well, parents out there, if you don't know who Kurt Flood is, trust me, go get the book. Because he actually, the reason that's free agency is because of that brother suing Major League Baseball. So I'm glad to see what these young brothers are doing as well. Lainey, Angela, Monique, Mo, I certainly appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. Coming up, folks, Cheryl Underwood talks about why she was a little spooked and had to cling to the cross before meeting Sharon Osbourne. Also, Army Divas of L.A. back for another season. And we'll share a preview with you right here on News 1 Now on TV 1.
Okay, government might have shut down.
Let's end this shutdown right now. Let's put people back to work.
Listen, there's never been a president in our history that did not negotiate over the debt limit. Never. Not once.
But you can count on us. Welcome to News One Now with Roland Martin.
All right, folks, time for part two of my conversation with Cheryl Underwood as we chatted on the set of her CBS show, The Talk. Hear that crazy woman.
Right, it's a church outfit. It's, see, you can dance on this. Because, you know, it's on TV One. We got to be one with TV One. Is that a Steve Harvey? What's happening?
No, Lord.
I may streetwalk a little bit, but I know the Lord. So we're going to go this way. Now, we're going to go to the dressing room and see my wall of wigs.
Right. Wig alert! Wig alert! Wig alert!
I'm looking at my dressing room going, this is not... Okay.
Wig alert! See,
this is my wall of wigs. This is my wall of wigs. It's my champagne in case I have to celebrate. And then this is Leonardo DiCaprio, who's always watching over me while I'm getting dressed.
How many wigs you got in here?
You know, I really got about 250 wigs. We know that we work in the TV business.
Yeah.
But it's always to be friends and colleagues working in the TV business. It's a fun job, and it's a blessing for us to work in the TV business. Jesus is my voice of reason.
With you, so
I did not know that a job was even to be had. I talk about this in my comedy show. I still do comedy on the road. Didn't know that a job was to be had. I was still president of Zeta Phi Beta when I got the call, you know, 23rd president. But when I got the call, I thought they were playing on my phone. So I called Steve and Jamie and Chris Tucker and Kevin Hart. I called everybody. I cussed them out. I said, y'all play too much on my phone. You know, I said, don't be dangling no alleged job on me. And they said, no, trick. Maybe it is. CBS called. So I finally called back, and there was. So but I still didn't think I was going to get it. There was a pain that was in my heart. You know, it's always being a bridesmaid, never being the bride. One day I got on my knees and I asked the Lord, as I always talk to him, and I said, Lord, just tell me what you want me to do, even if it means you don't want me to be in comedy.
What you asked is, Lord, let me do your will.
That's it. Let me do your will, not my will, your will. And then the phone rang, and it was CBS. So I'm not thinking that the Lord is not going to give it to me. I'm thinking, well, let me go to this because maybe this is as far as the Lord want me to go. So I go in the job, I'm suit and boot, I'm looking good, just like I'm looking good right now, right? Went in there, and I'm making everybody laugh, and they just laugh and slap on the back. You are delightful. You know, white people say you're delightful. You know, you might have a shot at it, right? So they say, you are delightful, right? And so they brought me into this very room, and they had me talk to Sarah and Julie. So I'm talking to them like I'm talking to any other woman, like we at the club or something. I'm like, what's happening, man? Boy, y'all, you doing this thing, everybody? Beautiful. I leave. I never think I'm going to get a job, right? Then they asked me to go to breakfast at the Polo Lounge. You've been to the Polo Lounge at the Beverly Hills Hotel.
Yes,
I've never been to the Polo Lounge. So black people see me walking the Polo Lounge. Sharon, what's happening, girl? What's happening, brother? You know, what you doing at the Polo Lounge? I'm security. I'm like, right on. I'm here for breakfast, you know? So I'm sitting there. I'm having breakfast with Sharon Osbourne, Ozzy's wife.
I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, do I start praying? Because, you know, they bite, you know, something, or they cross in the Black Sabbath and everything. And, you know, I roll with Jesus, you know, can I do it, Lord? You know, so I'm like, and we're becoming friends. So my point of this is, you don't know where God gonna take you. Look what God did for me. He can do it for anybody else if you just let him. Everything I've ever gotten in life, it wasn't me. I was just prepared when God said, this is what I want you to do. Are you ready? Just like Moses, I stutter, can't talk, thick tongue. Lord said, do. I do.
Some men don't care what you look like. You ain't got it in here. It don't matter what you look like.
Let's talk about Unsung Hollywood.
Yes.
But I want to first ask you about Dick Gregory. So a lot of folks, when we talk about comedy, yes, they'll talk about Richard Pryor,
yes,
they'll talk about Bill Cosby.
Fearless.
But a lot of folks fearless won't sit here and talk about it.
Dick Gregory, fearless. What I loved about Dick Gregory, you know, in when I was younger in comedy, you know, I wanted to be Dick Gregory, Mort Saul, George Gobel, Godfrey Cambridge, George Kirby, but I couldn't do impersonations. But then the more I started to listen to Dick Gregory, I wanted to be able to speak to the people. Dick Gregory would tell us that we buy more potato chips as people, but don't own property. You see what I'm saying? And when he came out with a diet that people still joke about to this day, but one of the healthiest diets out there. So you're talking about an icon. You're talking about a man that seems to know how to gently access what our people need to truly face in a way that's humorous, in a way that we can understand it, but also in a way that kind of chastised us to do better.
And you tell a child who doesn't be twice as smart, the brain thinks you tell them they're stupid.
That's why I love this man, and that's why I think God is letting him stay with us just a little bit longer. What I saw on TV were people who had control over other people, standing there with just a microphone. So that's what I wanted to be.
So what do you like about Unsung Hollywood?
I watch Unsung, period, because right. I love the, you do the backstory of the Manhattans, you got me. But when I got the call, and they said, okay, well, we're not just gonna do you, we're gonna do What's Happening, and Cooley High, and Dick Gregory, and I'm like, oh my God, so am I worthy of this? And then there was a little apprehensiveness, because I thought, what if I'm not famous enough? What if I'm not interesting enough? You know, so sometimes you're not sure. Mm-hmm. Or do you wait until I die? Or do you wait until I lose all my money, which I'm trying not to do, you know? or what is it that makes you unsung? So I hope that I don't let anyone down in what they're looking at in my life. And I purposely did not want to know who you were speaking to. I hope that people will learn more about me and learn to understand me a little bit more. I'm on the number one network, CBS, but the only way I could get here was on the TV ones and the different stations, even the cable stations, you know, and I liked evolving. I like that God let me live to evolve. Do I tell the best dirty jokes in the world? Absolutely, because I wanted to be able to perfect something. Red Fox, I want to perfect Red Fox. I want to perfect LaWanda Page, Moms Maybe. I want to perfect it, not say that I was perfecting them, but if I was going to tell an adult joke, I wanted to be one of the best, you know, so that people will understand I'm a mechanic at this. I know what I'm doing. So I hope you will understand that.
Ah, great talking with Cheryl. Be sure to check out Cheryl Underwood's Unsung Hollywood. It's going to air on TV One on March 4th. Folks, coming up, comedians Alex Scott, Nikki Moore, and Deshaun Bama Frazier join us for Wild Not Wednesday. Plus, we'll give you a sneak peek to R&B Divas, starring Shantae Moore, Lil Mo, Chrisette Michelle. They reunite for a third season, and we'll give you that peek later in the show as well. 15 before top of the hour, News One Now on TV1.
So you want the truth. Well, we got it.
That's how I talk. God knows it. I'm just straight.
It's News One Now.
Folks, it's Wild Not Wednesday. It's hump day. And the comedians are here today. Let's introduce them right now. We got Deshaun Alabama Frazier and then Mr. Roger Sweater he got on.
Yeah,
right now.
Man.
That's right.
Brown.
I got you.
Tyler Digger.
It's a beautiful day in the stadium. Nikki Moore. And of course, we got Alex Pee Wee Herman Scott.
Hey,
that's right. Cute little bow tie over there.
Gotta
ask y'all here. So, New England Patriots, of course, they lost. They actually won the Super Bowl. They should have lost to the Seattle Seahawks. But while that's happening, Aaron Hernandez is on trial for murder. How you think he's getting re-upped in prison? Like, you know, you should have been at that victory parade they had in Boston, but you sitting your thuggish behind in jail.
Well, he's okay. He'll get off, and he'll be on New England team. They'll pick him back up.
No, I don't
think
he's getting
him back up.
He's not getting off.
No,
he's
getting off.
If it was me, I'd be in that line and say, you know, if it was me, I would have scored like 3 touchdowns. I would have lied. I would have been like, see, Gronk, he ain't even run the pattern right.
I don't understand how you play in the NFL and you sign like a $30, $40 million contract, and then you want to act like you Nino Brown.
Hey.
Like you.
Some people go. Poor. Yeah, some people poor. Go have celebrate.
He was poor.
He was poor before he signed. So poor people don't know how to
I was
do
just
this
happy
stuff.
That no,
they were paying, him down
stuff.
In Florida. He played Florida. They were paying him down
there. I was just happy that it wasn't somebody from Virginia, because it's usually the Virginia athletes cutting up. You got Iverson, you got Vic, you got Lawrence Taylor. That's usually us. I was just so happy that he was from another state.
Different. Most players go out, you know, have a party, go to the club. He went and committed murder.
Right.
After his.
Well, because he was in the club. And first of all, he's also been investigated for these two other cases because a dude bumped into him.
Yeah. This guy shot a lot of people. He probably shot Kennedy.
We got to evaluate what he listening to in the club. You know, that's why I go to easy listening. That's why I go to jazz and stuff.
So his girlfriend's fiance was a sister.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave her immunity, so she's supposed to testify against him. If I'm her, I'm singing the whole time. Because here's the deal. He ain't getting out.
No.
He ain't getting out, and because they said she previously lied to them, she facing jail time.
Ooh. Wow. Well, if I was her, I would play it like, I'm going to tell him a lie if you wire me some money. Then after the wire hit, then I still go tell the truth.
So let me ask y'all, so we all remember that bit of Bernie Mac on Def Comedy Jam. So I ask you, is there anybody you will lie for if you in court?
My mama. I lie for my mama.
My kids.
Myself.
Let me explain something to y'all. My mama watching the show. Mama, I ain't going to prison.
You gonna snitch your mama out?
Dude, I ain't lying. Y'all lost y'all mind. I ain't lying for my mama. I ain't lying for no nieces and nephews. You got to go to jail.
Because
there's gonna be two of us in jail. And so I'd rather have one of us in jail.
You need somebody to send you money while you're in jail. Your mama's the only one gonna send you some money.
I wouldn't snitch on nobody.
I'll send my mama some money.
But I watched First 48, and when they put that pressure on you, and they put that frosted flake face on you and blur you out, you'll tell everything you know.
Let me tell you something. And it is a true story. That was this case in Houston where there was three guys. They viciously beat up. I think they may viciously beat up or they kill this gay guy. So. One black kid, two white guys. And so when they interviewed the daddy said, I love my son. He said, well, let's be clear. We ain't putting up our house for more. He said, He did it. He said, so, mama standing right there crying. He said, now I know his mama crying and we all in pain. But we ain't destroying our life trying to get him off. He said, no, that's not going to happen. Mm. So he going to plead.
Yeah,
and the media, they were like and I'm with him. I ain't destroying my life. Because you know you guilty.
Right.
And this whole, my baby, you know, he ain't able.
Well, everybody seen Time to Kill with Carly, so everybody think they wife.
Yes, I did it.
You seen Carly and Carly? I did it.
Yes, I did.
And he's still working out and got the house.
And I hope you're right in hell.
Why can't I mean,
free Carly.
Hey, Ray Carew, mama snitched on him, remember?
Oh, my mom gonna snitch on me.
Snitched on him.
My mom gonna snitch on me.
Mama said, look, I ain't messing up my life.
Right.
You foolish.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I see these, it kills me when if he's supposed to go to court. No, that's my baby. And then what gets me is when they all thugged out, but then when it's trial time,
they start crying.
They got the suit on, they get a haircut, then they got a big old cross around their neck.
or you see them with the suit up top, and then when you get down to the bottom, they got Timberlands on with their khakis.
You see the video of the drug deal they gave him 3 years, he fainted.
And he fainted.
In court.
Yeah, I seen that. Right. That was a basketball player.
That was in L.A.
Yeah.
I can't believe. Actually, another case in L.A., dude, a year earlier, guy shoots at him. A year later, they had a party at USC. He decides to retaliate. Miss him, hit 3-4 other people. They send his behind the jail for 20 years, and he start crying. You stupid. I can't defend stupidity.
Hey, Suge Knight in jail right now singing. He's singing right now. Suge Knight ran over everybody in the parking lot.
They read scriptures out of the Bible. Ain't nobody got but this. You know, like the Book of Flavor Flav. ain't no scriptures in no other Bibles but this.
Oh, Lord.
They got those words.
Hold tight 1 second. I'm Roland Martin, News 1 Now, TV 1.
Your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America.
I don't bend, I don't break.
It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin.
All right, folks, third season of R&B Divas LA. Nikki really wish she was on that show. And so here's a sneak peek of the wild and famous Divas.
R&B Divas South.
This season on R&B Divas Los Angeles. I just pulled these divas up here because I love them, each and every one of these crazy heifers.
My father-in-law is coming to town.
I can hang out with him.
You can stand me up. Don't stand my people up.
I hate that.
You didn't come and Mo got upset.
That's bullshit.
I need some stress relief
for some real shit that's going down.
Everyone meet Brave.
Who this woman?
You're going up against the Rihanna's, you're going up against the Beyonce. I need you at your A game.
It's my life, and it's not a f-ing game.
Tell us about the ring.
I'm trying to figure out, like, I hope she's not crazy.
I'm glad that we can move forward, because maybe we can make some music.
Oh, God, make us one.
I have never directed a choir, so I'm going to need you to support me as I learn.
Will you marry me?
Stacey Francis.
She's the girl that Whitney Houston smacked.
What did you guys think of the young lady, Stacey?
She kept whispering a little stuff. I was like, girl, if you don't shut up, I'm gonna spit my food out.
I'm devastated that somebody would go to the media and sell a story.
You just want to call us the gangbangers that did it?
Maybe it was you.
My best friend, she has been battling breast cancer.
I'm inspired right now to make a difference in a positive way.
What I want to do is a big event for cancer. Y'all down to do it, and everybody act like they got some sense.
I really don't like all the
hank boot. It's already starting out bad. It's Puerto Rico all over again.
Will people lie to me?
I know, so you have no more trust in her.
This sounds like confrontation.
No, it's not.
It obviously is.
You're just blowing me off.
You're right.
I can't make someone love me.
Yes, the hell you can.
Are you kidding?
It's all love, and it's all kumbaya.
No, it ain't.
It was a bad idea.
I'm getting nervous. I'm scared.
Don't make me feel like I'm crazy. I'm confrontational.
They will not see me again.
I'm talking to you.
Nothing.
What you want to do?
You want to fight?
So you don't want to talk to me?
She's the mean girl.
I'm the best diva. I sing my off.
All righty then, R&B Divas, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, Season 3 right here on TV One. See, here's my deal, okay? At least with R&B Divas, you know, because, again, y'all know I don't do ratchet reality shows. At least there are people who actually have skills.
No reality shows.
No, at least if you have R&B Divas, people who actually had or have recording contracts.
Right, yeah.
Versus some of these folks who are these wannabe stars.
Basketball wife that ain't married.
Right.
I live for it. I can't. I live for ratchet reality stuff.
Well, at least you have folks here. Okay, you can sing. You got a contract. Okay, I got you. Actually have talent.
I live for ratchet.
Like, I'm still trying to figure out what talent does Kim Kardashian have?
She should thank
Ray J every day. Nikki, real quick, what you got?
I have a gift for you, Roland. Nyla Elise, clothing designer to the stars.
All right.
Special for you. He wanted me to bring this to you.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks a bunch. Look, I got to go. Tomorrow on the show, Van Jones.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number 2, roll out.
The way I roll is when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News 1 Now with Roland Martin.